The jobs report was terrible on Friday. Come Monday, markets don't seem to care. From Marketplace in New York, it's the Midday Update. I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. U.S. markets are open at this hour and doing just fine. That's a little surprising, given that Friday was full of bad news. A weak jobs report, slow job growth in construction, a drop in the number of workers employed full-time. It sounds like the makings of a trading bloodbath. But that's not what's happening. It's time to check in with one of our economist friends to find out what we're expecting from Wall Street today. Christine Hurtsellers is Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income for Voya Investment Management. Hi, Christine.
Good morning.
So now, the only word for that jobs report on Friday was abysmal, but the immediate reaction from the market was somewhat muted. Is that surprising to you?
It was a bit surprising. And what's happening is the market can't make up its mind whether a Fed tightening is good or bad. And Friday, the market got the message that the Fed isn't going to tighten. And as a result, we've seen lower dollar, higher energy prices. And so the market's looking at it and saying, hey, this is stability, no change, it's a good thing.
And are they saying we can sort of divorce market activity from jobs and focus more on that Fed rate?
When you're looking at the equity market, you know, just the uncertainty as far as how fast is the Fed going to raise rates, that can certainly slow the economy. The fact that now Janet Yellen is going to have to really stand back today. She's talking today at 12:30, so we're going to get a little bit more clarity out of the Fed and what they're thinking today. But, you know, the market's pushed out any real probability of a rate hike till at least September of this year.
So what are you expecting from the markets this week then? You think they'll continue to be pretty stable?
Good question. I'm a little surprised that they're as stable as they are, quite frankly, because in addition to a very disappointing job report, as you said, we also had Brexit over the weekend. The polls to actually leave the union have increased, so that's another piece of uncertainty. So today, the market's reacting to strong oil. I wouldn't be surprised if the market gets weaker as the week goes on.
That's Christine Hurtsellers from Voya Investment Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have heard it said that friends and money do not mix. Now there's a little more proof. Think twice about co-signing a loan for friends or family, says a new survey from creditcards.com. It finds that co-signing can be tough for your relationship and your credit. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor has more.
This just in, no good deed goes unpunished.
If you co-sign with somebody on a loan or a credit card, you've got a 40% chance of losing money and a 26% chance of damaging your relationship.
Matt Schultz is with creditcards.com. It surveyed 2,000 adults, of whom almost 400 had co-signed a loan. The conclusion, never help anyone ever.
28% of folks experienced a drop in their credit score because the other person paid late or not at all.
That drop in credit score can cost you for decades. Jill Schlesinger is a CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. She says sometimes it's okay to co-sign a loan.
Your child, who has a very good job but doesn't really have enough credit history to purchase, say, an apartment, okay, I could live with that.
If you do co-sign, make sure you have access to the person's accounts. Trust but verify.
If somebody cannot get a loan, usually there's some reason behind it.
So don't offer to help unless you're willing to pay. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
The Prime Minister of India will be in Washington this week. Narendra Modi will meet with President Obama and address a joint session of Congress. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at what's on Modi's economic agenda.
One of the big issues likely to come up during Prime Minister Modi's visit, trade.
The U.S. is India's largest export destination.
That's Chad Bown, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says India would like to keep the U.S. market open to its exports, and it wants more visas for the tech workers it sends to the U.S. But Bown says President Obama wants something in return. Progress on a bilateral investment treaty, an agreement giving U.S. investors in India some guarantees.
So that if they build a new plant or a new production facility, they can protect themselves if the government changes or if the government implements some new regulation.
The treaty could also help pave the way for U.S. retailers who'd like to set up shop in India. But Modi and President Obama will each have an eye on something else as they negotiate, a big, hairy something.
The proverbial 800-pound gorilla in the room is China.
Harry Broadman is director of the Johns Hopkins Council on Emerging Markets and Global Business. He says China's economy is slowing down, just as India's is heating up.
the U.S. and India are conscious about, you know, warming up their economic relations, as well as security and all these other issues.
On the security side, the U.S. is selling more military equipment to India and sees it as an important ally in Asia. It certainly helps that Modi and President Obama get along so well. The president made a big splash when he danced with some schoolchildren during a visit to India in 2010. Vivek Wadhwa is a fellow at Stanford Law School. He says Modi's visit here is all about FaceTime, real FaceTime.
It's really about strengthening relationships. You know, Obama and Modi have met about 7 times now. They're becoming friends.
Maybe more than friends. Wadhwa says bromance may be in the air.
Let the bromance blossom. It's good for everyone.
In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, we've been following Switzerland's vote on whether to introduce a guaranteed basic income. Well, that proposal went down overwhelmingly on Sunday. The Swiss also rejected limits on executive pay and on profits earned by government-owned companies. In New York, I'm Molly Wood. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from American Public Media. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.